Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure before the end of this episode, you hit subscribe and share this with your friends.
Do it.
So this episode, we're going to dive into force plates. So we all have smart to move force plates now, and we use them almost every single lesson. Eric, what's the biggest thing that you benefit from being able to actually see forces from your students?
Yeah, I don't use them almost every lesson. I use them less than half of the time.
Oh yeah, because there's
more than 20% of the time. Because so many people do not need to worry about all of that stuff right away. I tend to use them with better players. I use them on chipping and putting a little bit more than some other people, because that's interesting. We're talking about force plates, but one of the difficult things about force plates, and one of the great things about force plates, is you can see invisible things, but people have a hard time understanding those invisible things. So every force plate lesson often involves a lot of explaining stuff to people. And part of explaining is letting them kind of mess around and move around in live mode. But one of the tests you can do with people, not during a lesson because people feel silly because they get it wrong. If you say, okay, stand there, try to be 50-50, don't move too much. And then you're like, when I say go, you're going to put as much force into your right foot as you can, right? You're going to shift from 50-50, you're going to try to make it say 100, right? And what you should do is just immediately pick up your left foot and then fall over. And then until you fall over, it's going to say 100% under your right foot. What people do is they push themselves to the right, which adds force under their left foot. So like forces are weird and people don't get them and they seem strange. You push your left foot forward to move your left hip back. The ground doesn't supply any force at all, really. It's kind of an inert platform. You pushing down, it pushes back as hard as you're pushing down, unless we have someone that can move the earth. I haven't seen it yet. Forces are strange because people don't understand the difference between force and mass, even though they understand that, like, if I push, I'm going to move that. Like, it's just a very confusing thing for a lot of people. And so force plates are great because they let us see things and they let us see changes and they let us measure things, but they're very strange for people at first when they get on it.
And Tyson?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think typically if I have somebody who wants to do a force plate, I typically don't do anything less than 90 minutes because of what Eric just said. I mean, there's a lot of explaining that you got to do, and It's really kind of hard to get quality work done in a 60-minute lesson, you know, if you're just focused on the force plates. I mean, let's face it, our job as a golf instructor is to help people hit it better. And if it's a 60-minute lesson, yeah, I might have the force plates going, but I might not even talk to the player about it. I'm looking at the data. I'm seeing it. The beauty for me with the force plates and the Smart to Move software is just how easy it is and how quick that you can get them set up and tore down. You can put them in there at the very start of a lesson, remove them, put them back in at the end of a lesson to see the changes. Ultimately, sort of, again, to Eric's point of when the player sees the difference and they can connect the feeling of what they started out doing versus what you sort of got them to do, they feel the difference, they see the changes. Now that change is going to stick for that player.
Jason, how do you use them?
Yeah, so mine are sort of always there. I like to have them start out, they hit some shots. I usually just show people their swing, and I'll often go like, all right, here's your swing. Here's what this looks like. And here's the data that I see. Now, average golfer has no idea what they're looking at, right? And I'll just quickly go, okay, here are the three forces. Here's what each one of them, you know, represents. And if it's, all right, there's something that's dramatically wrong in your forces, I will work on that. And it's like, okay, work on these is going to make your swing look different and you're going to hit the ball better. Right. That would be like the main reason I would use the force plates. I don't use them all the time because, yeah, if there's something that's like, you know, the grip's really bad or, you know, the shaft position is out of position, well, you're not going to use the force plates to change that. It's like, okay, how you saw your forearms rotate, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll often tell people, okay, I can make your swing look different and the forces will look different, or I can make the forces look different and your swing will look different. And that's sort of like how I would use mine inside a lesson. But the biggest thing that I use them for sure is what you were talking about, which is like getting people to understand, okay, there's pressure and then there's mass, and they are not the same thing, because most people, when they've heard like, oh, I need a weight shift.
Not when stuff is moving.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, I need a weight shift. I need to recenter. Well, they're just, what their concepts of how that works isn't correct. And then you can show them with, you know, video and the force plates, because they're like synced together. All right, here's where you're putting your pressure at this point, and then that creates this. Okay. And then you need to then counter that to make this happen. And then you can see it in the video. And then it's just great because you can quantifiably show them like, okay, now you went from 80 miles per hour club head speed to 85 miles per hour club head speed because you did this into the ground earlier than you'd ever felt like you needed to do it.
Earlier is big. A lot of times when I'm on the force plates, I'm using the word earlier, and people do not do the things early enough. If you are reaching your peak verticals after impact, I'm sorry, but you're really late. It's pointless at that point.
Yeah, the timings and the magnitudes are something that we're always looking at as a coach. The beauty with the Smart to Move software is I love the little 3D guy that shows the center mass and the center pressure. And so people can see what both of those are doing. And is your mass stable and your pressure moving, or is your mass moving with your pressure? And one of those is better than the other. And when they can see and start to feel what that is, once again, you see those speed increases. And oftentimes the player almost every time is like, well, I don't even feel like I'm trying to swing faster. And it's like, no, you're not. You're more efficient now.
Correct.
Do you guys agree with this statement? If you've been teaching golf for a while, especially if you've been using force plates, do you think that you can see kind of the forces and stuff that people are doing in the golf swing? I'm not saying to a high level of certainty, but you can kind of see where and when. Like if you took a guess, you would be able to guess pretty closely like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. I remember I had one online student. This is like the guys in like Arizona. And I'm watching from face on because like there's some stuff I'm watching from down the line or like that. So I asked him to move the camera face on and he's seeing some shots and I was just chatting with him. Hey, it looks like you're about, 70 on your lead side, 30 on your trail side, and you don't really move it much. You get maybe to like 60, 40 in your backswing. I'd love for it to get a little bit more. And he goes, yeah, you're right. I just stopped and I said, what? He goes, nope, that's you're pretty much bang on. And I was like, well, you've been on force plates? Like he's like, oh, I have force plates in my other house. I was like, you have another, what? And he's like, yeah, I have three homes. And like, clearly this guy's like loaded. And he has a set of force plates in his other house. And he goes, yeah, that's basically bang on. He's like, but I've never been able to change that. He's like, could you help me with that? Like, yeah, for sure. Again, I wasn't like maybe I was like 5% off, but it's like, you can see that, right? You sort of see over time, like, you look at this, you look at that, and you start seeing over and over, you see patterns, right, that golfers are making. Now, of course, yeah, I'm not going to be like bang on to the machine. And I might be off just a little bit, but for general person, yeah, I can see it on an online lesson now.
Yeah. Can you see though, the timing? The timing is the tough one for me. Like the timing is tough because the downswing is a quarter of a second. And so like, if you're trying to figure out when their peak vertical is,
that's right,
good luck, because you're kind of looking at their front knee and when it's extending and how open they're getting and all kinds of stuff. Good luck. Like,
yeah.
Cause if you're off from P5 and it's P6.5, like that's a completely different swing. One, you're like, ooh, good job. And the other one, you're like, oh crap, that's late.
100%. The timing's hard. I would also say the point of application, like where is the bulk of the pressure underneath each foot? You can kind of see that in a video if a player's, in the backswing, heels lifting off the ground.
Yeah.
Right. You'll see that, or the toes lift, whatever. But once again, what I love about the software, when the player sees that, then you can put that in live mode, literally right underneath their face, and they're sitting there and they're moving the point of application around. Or to your point, we got to get it out sooner, and they see that peak happen much sooner in the downswing. I completely agree. I think using them has absolutely helped me see it in just a normal golf swing without using the plates. But we need the accuracy of it being measured to really be able to pinpoint all that stuff.
Yeah.
This episode of the Spin Axis podcast is brought to you by Smart to Move, the game changer in golf performance. Their 3D wireless force plates measure your swing from the ground up, giving coaches and players the data they need to unlock more power, consistency, and control. Lightweight, portable, and paired with an easy-to-use iOS app, Smart to Move plates make it simple to see exactly how you're using the ground and how to use it better. Myself, Eric, and soon Jason will all be coaching with them, because you can't measure what you can't see. Stop guessing, start measuring. Visit smarttomove.com to take your game to the next level.
Would you guys say this? I mean, I've had a lot of pretty good players on the plates, and almost every time, I mean, there's definitely exceptions, but better players typically are using the ground pretty darn good. I haven't seen that it's been wildly off with a good player. What do you guys see?
I've seen bits of both. I've seen good players who, and we talked about this on the last group when we were helping them do their level two curriculum. I have one junior who doesn't get to, I think, about 140% vertical. Like, that's his peak. He's about 140%. The kid swings at 130 miles an hour. And I'm like, I asked the question of the group. We're kind of moving in that direction slowly over time. He's always been very rotational. And I asked the question about how much I rob Peter to pay Paul, or that might be not the right metaphor or saying, but how much do I take away his rotation to get vertical when he swings 130 and is playing D1 golf on a full ride?
Oh.
Not much at all. I'm not going to change much, but we're going to kind of move in that direction because the rotation has some things. And
yeah, it depends on what you need to some change. Things.
Yeah. Right. It just, you know, he tends to take a bigger divot, hit down a little too much, gets a little too much spin. So we're trying to use the vertical to kind of get the club out of the ground and not take such a big divot. But that's almost it, you know. And if he gets to 150, I might be happy and we might be like, that's all you need. That's great. Do that. Even though tour average is 180, 185, something like that. And a lot of tour players are 200. He might be the guy that's 150. So I see some good players. Most good players have good,
yeah,
better timing. Most good players have higher amounts. You don't see the, what we call the double peak of like the knee sag and bounce through impact from a good player very often.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, like you put on a 20 handicap in there and they might have like the proper peaks and valleys, and you know, it's generally like okay, but like you said, it's just so late and you're like, you have it in you, like there's like good movements in here, it's just we need to just pull them into the proper time. And then you have the people that don't do it whatsoever. And you know, I've chatted about this in the other one. I really should make a video again for this, but my budget force plates I always talk about with the cereal boxes or the furniture mover, I mean, absolutely, I want you to get force plates. If you have the budget for that, or if you're a coach and want to get in them, go get them. They're awesome. It's unbelievable. If you can't afford that, or if you're just a recreational golfer and you want to feel like, am I actually moving in my golf swing? The amount of times that I've had, you know, and I'm not saying I don't like throw older gentlemen under the bus, but you get them in front of me and I can watch them. And you know, I mean, I don't even need the force plates. I can just tell that they have no speed through the ground. And you move some of the friction and they don't move whatsoever on these cereal boxes. And they're like, pretty good, right? Like, no, that's terrible. You get those really good.
You should be sliding all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. The amount that they're putting in, like Colin Morikawa, really, really centered pivot. On the plates, he's putting massive amounts of force in the ground. So those are the ones where it's like, you know, as a coach, we know that he is doing that, right? He wouldn't be able to swing it at 114, 122, his driver, if he wasn't, right? There's just like, now, going back into like Eric's point of, well, what do you need? Well, it depends on the player. Are you a rotational player? Are you a lateral player? Are you a vertical player? And if you are, let's say you're hooking the golf ball and you have too much laterals, well, then you might need to have more torque in there. And well, if we steal some of your verticals or laterals to get in some more torque and it helps neutralize some of your club path, but you still have the ball the same distance, perfect. Like, you just got to know what that player in front of you needs out of the plates, and then again using those in the proper order to like help neutralize someone's, you know, tendencies.
Yeah, and I would say I think the awesome thing about it too, right, it's kind of like TrackMan 10 years ago, Foresight 10 years ago. We're still learning. I think we're going to continue to learn as we keep moving forward. You know, to your point, Jason, like if I have a player who's a very planar swinger, sort of looks like Adam Scott, or if I have a Matt Wolf, right, whose sweet spot is sort of swinging all over the place, they're going to use the ground pretty differently, and they should, right? Because they need to match up how you're moving that golf club. Eric, what would you say on that? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, everything you do ends up showing up in the ground. But at the same time, some coaches, it's a bit of a, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail type thing. Some coaches are guilty of like doing a lot with a force plate when it's like, okay, like, because the ground is a platform for your legs. And yes, if I twist my upper body, some of that force bleeds down into the ground. But my chest and torso act on my pelvis and my legs. My arms act on my chest and torso. My wrists act on my arms and my chest, you know, or shoulders or something. The club acts on my wrists and arms. every segment there kind of bleeds out some of the energy. You know, your arms can move across your chest and you can not see a lot of stuff down in the ground because it's not as direct. It's going through and I'm kind of absorbing and moving around. And so every change you make in a golf swing tends to show up on plates if it's significant enough. If you change someone's grip, you're not going to see that much of a change. Although how they move the club, you're going to see a little bit of a change. If you're picky and you've taken a lot of swings and you kind of know what normal is, almost every change shows up in the plates. But that doesn't mean everything is a force plate lesson. You know, if I'm working on changing someone's path, can you do it by changing the direction at which they shift their line of pressure during the swing? Yeah. Can you do it a bunch of other ways? Yeah.
Yeah.
Plates are a tool. Not everything needs to be about them, but they're a very good tool because they show you stuff that you cannot see with your eyes.
Yeah.
They show you invisible things.
Yep.
And you could show it to the student.
You can't draw it on a camera. You can't draw lines on a thing. And I sell line drawing software, if you want to call it that. You can't draw this stuff on a screen.
Well, and to your point, I think it was back in COVID. I didn't even have plates at the time, but I did a...
Did you just eat off like the top of the pizza box?
Yeah. I did an education call with...
That was a terrible joke.
Listen, all jokes are good jokes. I did an education call with Steve Furlonger, who now is with Smart to Move. And he said something to me even back then that I still sort of think of all the time. He said, Tyson, the ground doesn't move us. We move us.
Yeah.
You have to have the intention of moving. So to your point, yes, you can shift somebody's path by shifting how their line of pressure is moving, but they also have to have some of that intention as well.
Yeah, I think people get confused by ground reaction force. The ground isn't doing anything. It's just staying still.
That's right.
It's just not moving. It's just an inert platform, and we do all the moving. So we can push against it, but like if you lean against a brick wall and push into the wall doesn't go anywhere, hopefully. You go backward. So yeah, the ground is the reaction force. Like there's not really, it's you're doing all the forcing. You're doing the pushing. You're doing the not really pulling. It's not much pulling in the golf swing with the ground, but you're doing all of that stuff. And the last thing I'll say is I have almost never seen anybody do the stuff that they need to do too early.
Never.
No, I agree.
Nope. And I would just say the last thing that I would say, I would tell people like, go get on plates, go book a lesson with a coach that has some plates. It's you're going to learn something for sure.
Yeah. Cause you can't cheat them. I had one online student, I remember, forget this, going over their rant, and I was telling him, I'm like, oh, you're late, you're not getting onto your trail side. And he's like, this is not what it feels like. I'm like, okay, go find somebody. If you want, search somebody out. I can request, you know, get some other coach that's got force plates to help you out. You're somewhere in the States, didn't want to come up and see me, right? Fine. Goes there, messaged me like 30 minutes after the lesson. He's like, I just got home from the lesson. You were 100% right. Okay, perfect. All right. So like, can we get to work? You know what I mean? Like sometimes the student just needs to see it.
Yes.
Right. And see how early or how late or non-existent they are moving in their swing. Because yes, some people need a quantifiable data, like see it visually and go like, okay, even though it feels like I'm doing it early enough, I'm still too late. Yeah. You're still too late. I'm sorry. Here's what you need. You need more, right? Please, sir, give me some more.
Where can people get more from us?
Well, you can find us online at thespinaxis.com, and you can find us on all social medias at thespinaxis.
All of them, except TikTok and WeChat.
That's true. Tickety-tock.